Around the NFL podcast. Refuses to sign the franchise tag.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined in a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Chris Wessling. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Where's Greg? What's his deal?
You know how we've been talking the last few weeks how, God, this would be a great time to get away. It's a little kind of a strangely quiet time. There's actually some things going on in the NFL right now. But Greg followed the path of what we were laying out last week. We should get away. He got away. He's taking some time with the family. Can't really get on him for it.
No, I think it's a smart move. It was a very realistic plan, and someone jumped on it, as they should have.
Right. Somebody sprinted toward the door. It was Greg leaving the Three Amigos. That's what I call us.
Wait, last time I wasn't here, you called yourselves the Three Amigos. And then Greg called it like the ultimate dad movie or something.
Hey, classic Three Amigos talk right here.
Yeah.
How's everybody's weekend?
Good.
Totally nondescript.
Okay. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I mean, it's not bad. Yeah. It's not good either. Nondescript.
Watched about 12 minutes of The Masters.
Did you watch the right 12 minutes?
Yes, I did.
Yes. That was a great sports event, and it's going to be tied into our segment later today, Comeback Kids of the NFL in 2019. I would never would classify myself as a golf fan, but the whole Tiger Woods comeback angle, easy to get sucked into, the point where when I had to go to Lorenzo's birthday party at the Discovery Cube Los Angeles, it was Jack's friend from school.
Lorenzo?
Yeah. I was legitimately annoyed and went as far as saying, how can I watch this online? I said on Twitter. And then I found out, hey, there's a Masters app. So who's the dad at the Discovery Cube watching the last three holes of the Masters? That's a credit to Tiger Woods.
You couldn't have been the only dad, right?
This is Los Angeles. A lot of men here aren't traditional men in the masculine sense. So I was the only one even halfway plugged into sports at this event.
But a minor humble brag. But I mean, I'm not a huge fan of parents who knows who's, you know, making the decision in the Lorenzo family,
right?
Parental units of the Lorenzo
very nice
character.
Parents met them.
I'm sure they're very nice. Yeah. That's not the issue. Yeah. But like, you don't schedule arbitrary children's events during major sporting events and then expect whether it's the wife or the husband, who is a huge fan of said sport, to be going to these things in some sort of happy, joyous mode. No, it's quite annoying.
Absolutely true, Mark.
Am I wrong? I feel like you're just saying that you agree.
Honestly, you know what I think it is? Once you get to a certain age and you have kids that are going to birthday parties, you're in the twilight zone, and there's just...
I mean, I'm in that range.
Yeah, there's nothing
wildly
to do. You can't get mad about it. As long as you're not doing it, like there's a kid in Jack's class that's having his birthday party on Easter Sunday. It's like, what are we doing? You're expecting us to go to your child's party. We don't want...
See, that I like because that's a power move.
Yeah. Against who? Jesus?
Well, that's a huge power move if that's what he or she said parent is doing.
Let's save it for the theology podcast. So, yes, we're going to get into players, figures in the NFL who we predict or could see a comeback in 2019. But first, let's get to... Oh, how are you, Ricky?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was your weekend? Did you watch the Masters?
I didn't.
No.
No, I really...
We're not going to hold that against you.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Of course I did. Oh, my God. It was so exciting.
It feels... as a guy, I'm a pop culture guy, not being connected to Game of Thrones.
You're out?
I was out 3 years ago.
What?
And it feels... I really do have FOMO, for real.
You should. You should catch up because this is the last season. We waited 2 years. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what? The reason I stopped watching is because it was a bunch of garbage.
I'm with you.
No, but it comes back. If you stopped watching when I think you stopped watching, like, just chill.
Okay.
Like, just chill, bro.
Okay. Maybe I'll, quote-unquote, binge watch.
Oh, my God.
Let's do some news.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger back behind the ball. Woods puts it in. And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion, one of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, major number 15. And Augusta National roars like never before.
A reminder that Mike Tirico is the GOAT. It doesn't matter what the event is. The man is going to show up prepared, and he's going to know how to handle the moment, when to talk, when to shut up. It's harder than it sounds.
I was glad to hear Tirico instead of Jim Nantz on this call right here.
Nantz did the thing where he didn't talk for 2 minutes, which is almost like a sneaky look at me move. Because he knows he's going to get articles written like, Jim Nantz knew when to say nothing at all. Like, that's column by Ian O'Connor.
That's a very sneaky, ultra sneaky.
All right. A lot of golf talk. All right. Here we go. Let's get into the news. Back to football. You know what, Ricky? Let's dig in right away.
Russell Wilson, deadline watch.
Sign me or trade me. I'm not going to play.
Yes, I will.
Go Hawks. Here it is, April 15th. The Seattle Seahawks. Everything in that was accurate.
Oh, yeah,
sign
absolutely.
Me or trade me. I'm not going to play. Yeah, you will. Ends everything with Go Hawks. That's what he does.
Short but sweet.
Fits.
In fact, that was Russell Wilson. We were able to get him.
It's a little more personality than normal.
Ricky picked up the phone, and surprisingly, he said he would do a drop for our podcast. So that was cool. Speaking of which, Andrew Siciliano on live television today derided me angrily for mispronouncing Sierra.
Well, because you angrily derided Chris Wesson.
I was
in the
not
of
angry.
Our, well, you took the, as you say, you're the pop culture guy.
Yeah.
You jumped in to correct incorrectly Wes.
Well,
and Andrew was just simply putting you back in your place.
Dan was free from derision. I think it was merely a correction.
Right. I mean, C-I-A-R-A.
I mean, to correct a friend on national television is a bit of an extra move, and
mine was
the
a
same
bit,
simply happened to you.
Mine was a little tongue-in-cheek, little wink at Wes, and then Andrew came with, like, the Terminator 2
gun. A wink and a punch
gun.
To the stomach.
It was just like, all right, bro, I get it. I think he said something like, why don't you go hike in the Sierra Mountains? We'll be back after this. I'm like, all right, bro.
Then they cut your mic.
Anyway, so Russell Wilson, where are we at? April 15th is the day that the Seahawks quarterback told Team Brass he wanted a new contract done or he would cut off talks entirely. So here's we are at that day. No news as of this taping of a new deal. Rap Sheet reported that Mark Rogers, Wilson's agent, has been on the ground in Seattle for the last 3 days to negotiate with team management. The sides continue to work with the deadline looming, but Wilson also is with the Seahawks at the beginning of their offseason workout program. Wes, as he said, he would be. What is your take on the last 24 to 48 hours of the situation?
Well, I mean, not everybody knows this, but we were told this last time he was going for a contract. He doesn't just have any agent. He's got a baseball agent.
Go Hawks.
So that means he wants guaranteed money. Apparently, any other normal agent would not be trying to get their client fully guaranteed money. But what's going on this time is apparently Russell Wilson wants a fluctuating salary that can go up if the salary cap goes up by quite a bit, if revenue sharing goes up by quite a bit, if the streaming services, if gambling is legal. He wants his contract to reflect that if these changes are made. And especially with the CBA expiring in 2022, I believe, by the time his next contract comes up, it could be too late to see all those advancements. So it seems like he's trying to get what he wants. Last time he tried this, the Seahawks did not give him a fully guaranteed deal. So we'll see who wins with this posturing.
When we first talked about this situation, we kind of laughed at Russell Wilson in the sense that we thought that, yes, it's a deadline, but it's a soft deadline and, you know, maybe they strike a deal at any point. Peter King came very strongly in his column this morning basically saying, absolutely not. If this doesn't happen today in this window, then there is no negotiation. It's not happening at all. And that there is a sense that Russell Wilson from the Seahawks and elsewhere wants to play somewhere else next season. It wouldn't be this year. They can still franchise tag him and all that other business. But for me, I think the tone has shifted where there is a realistic chain of events to imagine Russell Wilson somewhere else down the road, if it comes to the point where this is a player who doesn't want to stay in Seattle, I'm not saying they couldn't keep him there against his will, but that doesn't feel like the most Seahawks thing to do of all time. That just 2 weeks ago, I never would have thought on any level he would be anywhere other than Seattle. There is a sliver of hope if you're some quarterback needy team out there that you might be in play for it down the road.
Do we really believe it, though?
That I'm saying there's a sliver of hope.
No, I don't mean that. Well, I mean that, too. But the idea that if they do not come to terms on a deal on April 15th, the Seahawks no longer have a window open. What if they come hard with a great offer 3 months from now? Russell Wilson's going to say, nope, April 15th was the window. Go Hawks. Like, I think this is probably posturing at a high level, at a very public level. And I still think that a deal gets done. But I think he's playing hardball because he's got a baseball agent. Well done.
But it is posturing time of year. This is a time to entrench and tell teams that you're not going to do the deal that they want. You know, I'd rather see it done in April than in October.
I would say, though, if you're Russell Wilson, there is advantages to seeing if any other major quarterback contracts land between now and next offseason. And also, like you mentioned, the CBA, to get 1 year closer to not having whatever deal you construct be outdated by the CBA and what changes come. They don't know. I think any agent that isn't battling for fully guaranteed money and isn't looking at gambling revenue and all this other stuff is way in the past at this point. So it's not just that he's a baseball agent. You're looking ahead of what the league's going to look like 2 or 3 years from now.
He was the highest paid player in football when he signed his last deal, and now he's making about 65% of what Aaron Rodgers is making on an annual basis.
One last note. A source very close to the situation told me, the ATN Media Insider, that he was corrected, the source, by Russell Wilson himself for mispronouncing Sierra's name. So it's a common mistake. It happens. I just happen to make the mistake.
Wait, you have a source who just said that the way Chris Wessling pronounced it is correct?
Just found out after our live hit.
Oh, I wasn't waiting for any sources, but I'm glad you did some work on that.
But this source himself was corrected by Russell Wilson. Mm. Hey, bro. Hey, it's actually Sierra. Go Hawks.
Okay.
I mean, do we put some of the blame on her? I'm not sure it's not even her birth name or not. I don't know. But, like, to construct a name that half the people are pronouncing incorrectly, that's sometimes on the person naming the human or the human themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
We'll leave it right there. Mark, you said it well. Reuben Foster, the Washington Redskins linebacker, he could return to the football field sooner than a lot of us thought he would. The NFL announced on Friday that Foster will be fined 2 game checks but not suspended after his latest domestic violence incident. Foster's November arrest in Tampa over allegations of domestic assault resulted in his release from the Niners. The Redskins claimed Foster 3 days later, but the league placed the linebacker on the commissioner exempt list, which prevented him from playing and practicing until the NFL investigation ran its course. It has now run its course. And Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reported on our airwaves that Foster spoke multiple times and met in person with Goodell, and the NFL viewed video from the hotel provided by law enforcement where the alleged incident occurred before deciding on no suspension. So the Redskins got killed for picking Foster up. You could still kill them for picking Foster up, regardless of how the NFL investigation played out. But as it's working out for them, they're not even going to be missing him for the start of the season. So they're probably feeling pretty good about this.
What a costly move this was for the 49ers to draft him, part ways with him, and then see him get cleared. And I know that regardless of what the punishment ended up being, they were disappointed in him because they told him to stay out of trouble and stay away from this woman on the road,
right,
and he didn't do it. But you look at the Redskins now, and you could argue that no team added 2 players on defense with a greater impact than Reuben Foster and Landon Collins.
And, I mean, Bruce Allen, the Redskins GM, which, because now we will be mentioning what team these GMs work for.
A lot of good feedback.
I mean, a lot of feedback saying,
media.
And I get that, you know, I have another job. I don't attach myself to the knowledge of every reigning GM in a 32-team league. I agree with you. Bruce Allen basically said in January, we had no concerns. We thought he would be cleared. Whenever you hear about these things where the accuser drops the charges and all this stuff, or recants their story on the stand. It always feels like there's something else
right.
happening there that is not just. But for me, the Niners to put as much investment into Reuben Foster and get to the decision that we're cutting bait with this player. They know so much more than we know about the way he makes choices and operates that I just don't think it's going to be the last up and down moment for the Redskins with this.
The Minnesota Vikings, moving on, have paid out a lot of money to another star a year after Kirk Cousins got all the money. Anthony Barr got a huge deal in free agency to stick around. Well, Adam Thielen's not going anywhere. He agreed to a four-year extension worth $64 million, maximum of $73 million. Rap Sheet reported the deal comes with $35 million in guarantees. The deal is now official as of this week. Thielen was set to enter the final 2 years of his contract at a very controllable cheap rate at less than $6 million per both years. Now he's really set up well. This has been... Mark, one of the best wide receivers in football the last couple of years. He's coming off two straight 1,000-yard seasons, Pro Bowl guy, and especially at the beginning of last season, he was on a record-setting pace. This guy produces year in, year out, and now he's paid like it.
I look at the Vikings, and they're a team that a couple years ago went to an NFC title game with a quarterback that cost next to nothing. You had a young Stephon Diggs, who was at that point not playing for what he's playing right now. And you had Adam Thielen, who cost you pennies and was overproducing. And you're able to build a great defense in a team when all that's happening. Now, Diggs, over the next four seasons, makes $12, $14, and 2 years of $15 million. Adam Thielen is making a bundle. And you have $60 million in dead money tied up in Kirk Cousins if you find out 2 years from now he's not your guy. So you have one of these rosters that is financially exceedingly top-heavy. All three of these players were on the team last year, and the Vikings largely stunk. So you've got to hope that you can continue to put investments into your offensive line, which was a huge issue, and not let the defense and some of those contracts fall off a cliff, too.
What a victory for the player. The Vikings were prescient enough to sign him before...
Prescient.
Before everyone knew that Adam Thielen was going to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber type of receiver, and he's gotten better every year. I think you could say 2017 was his breakout year, but he only had four touchdowns, and the question was how big of a playmaker is he? Is he just moving the chains, or is he actually making huge plays? Then last year he has that streak of, what, 8 or 9 100-yard games and also found the end zone 9 times. He's just gotten better every year. He might be the best route runner in the NFL now.
I would say one thing, the fact that Laquon Treadwell never really bloomed into what they thought would be a number one winds up being very expensive because you have to sink money into someone other than Laquon Treadwell.
This is a big year for the Vikings.
Yes,
really
it is.
Really big year. I mean, Cousins is on the books for another 2 years, but if they have another disappointing season, they're kind of a franchise, like Mark says, top heavy and also not close to the top.
And they haven't fixed their number one bugaboo, the offensive line. Riley Reiff is still set to be their left tackle.
And they have a head coach who has fired other coaches and could not get along with other coaches because he wants to be a run-heavy team where your biggest investment is going to two wide receivers and a quarterback.
And that head coach is?
Mike Zimmer.
For what team?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Everybody's plugged in.
Of the middle of our country.
All right, moving on. More teams reporting for their offseason programs starting Monday. One of them is the Kansas City Chiefs. A notable player connected to that team, Tyreek Hill. The receiver is planning to report to the facilities. The Chiefs open offseason conditioning workouts Monday, Rap Sheet reported. Hill is being investigated by local authorities for a potential domestic violence incident. Hill has not been charged with a crime, and the NFL is not expected to rule or make any conclusions on Hill's situation until Child Protective Services in Overland Park, Kansas, finishes its investigation into an alleged battery involving a juvenile. We've mostly stayed away from this story to this point just because, as you're hearing just there, it's still murky. It's still kind of a nebulous story. We don't know what they're going to come back with in terms of what happened between Hill and members of his family. And that will probably, based on what the findings are, dictate potentially if Tyreek Hill is playing football for the Chiefs this year. But for the time being, they're going about business as usual, and Hill is there. But, Wes, it's a major situation to track just from a team standpoint for the Chiefs who survived Kareem Hunt. And his exit due to domestic violence issues. But how how painful would Tariq Hill not being involved with the Chiefs offense be to that team?
It's a massive story because many people, and Sean Payton and Drew Brees are among those who told Peter King during the season, the most valuable, the most dangerous skill position player in the NFL is Tyreek Hill. And I believe that to be true as well. This is a guy who the Chiefs wanted to make the highest paid wide receiver in football. And then reports come out this offseason, they're actually trying to trade him. And you have to think that this is part of the reason why, especially given his history of abuse, that this is a guy who the leash is going to be very short for if he does end up in trouble for this.
It is, I mean, so suddenly if there was a scenario where you move Tyreek Hill or he's not available to you for overt reasons, you have a wide receiver group of Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and Sammy Coates, and you have no Kareem Hunt. That is a vastly different roster than what the Chiefs fans have experienced of late.
I mean, you're getting to the point where, yes, you have the reigning MVP, a quarterback in your building, but as we saw in Green Bay, at a certain point, it will show if you take away the weapons. So, yes, this is a major plot line surrounding Kansas City as they look to get over the humps, and we'll continue to track it. All right, so let's talk a little draft. Yeah, no more domestic violence stuff for the rest of the show. Okay, let's talk some draft. Daniel Jeremiah, move the sticks on Twitter. You know who he is. He's the biggest name in the NFL now, at least at NFL Network when it comes to draft stuff. I mean, he should start a sideshow, his own podcast maybe, and leverage that, but he hasn't yet. When he does, we'll let you know. But here is a tweet from him 6 hours ago from this taping. April 1st, confidence meter. Kyler Murray of Oklahoma, the quarterback, will be first overall pick, 90%. 2 weeks later, April 15th, confidence meter, 60%. Kyler Murray going number one overall. Interesting, Mark, because listen, we've been working under the impression for weeks now around here and everyone connected to the football cognoscenti that Kyler Murray was done. He's going to go to the Cardinals. Josh Rosen was going to have to find another job. But now it might not be that way.
I mean, there's so many variables attached to this because it's the people in the building that supported Josh Rosen, selecting him, grooming him last year, hoping to get a big second year, and wanting to get enough back if you're going to move on from Josh Rosen. You don't want to get fleeced in that deal and then turn around and just put your hopes into another rookie quarterback. You also have everyone that believes that the coach, Cliff Kingsbury, is all on board with Kyler Murray in terms of a skill set, and you don't want to start your relationship as a second coach or a third coach GM in Steve Keim by not giving your head coach what he truly wants. That, to me, feels like the seeds of dissent happening early. I'm sure the Cardinals would love to also have the option to trade number one and get a bounty. If you look at studies by PFF and others, there's no team in the league that has more global needs on their roster than the Cardinals. So extra picks and extra high picks would make sense. I would say this, if we started at 0% that the Cardinals were going to trade Rosen to get Kyler Murray, and suddenly DJ said, I was at 0%, but now I'm at 60. People's hair would be on fire. People would be freaking out. So 60% is still a massive number for the idea that this team is invested in potentially trading away their quarterback for Kyler Murray.
I'll concede that I've probably been wrong about this, but my thought on this all along is put yourself in the general manager's shoes. And from the beginning, if there's even a 3% chance that you think you can get the Raiders to give up some of their treasure chest of draft picks for that number one pick, that had to be your priority this offseason. Positioning yourself by your quotes, by any moves you're going to do, to try to dupe the Raiders into overpaying for that number one pick. And Peter King has said Monday morning, there is not unanimity inside the Cardinals building regarding whether they'll take Kyler Murray or not. And if you think back to last year at this time, the question was whether the Browns are going to take Josh Allen or Sam Darnold at number one. So we're still 10 days away, and it's all up in the air.
Yeah, that's for sure. And to Mark's point about advanced analytics, how they study where the Cardinals at. In that Peter King article, in the 2018 season, the Cardinals only had two players from their starting 22 rated in the top 15 in the league at their position. So, yes, a team with a lot of needs. And if there was one organization in football that had all those picks that you would hope would be in this type of scenario where they would go nuts and pull off a big trade, it's got to be the Raiders, right?
Right.
Like, so I totally don't rule it out. But I still think Kyler Murray goes first overall.
I guess I'm. Here's the thing. Because
I still think that.
I think, Wes, you nailed it, that from the start, there's not been one unified vision of what they're going to do at quarterback, especially when you're GM. There's a lot of pride wrapped up in this.
Yes.
Picked Josh Rosen along with ownership's, you know, willingness last year, less than a year ago. But who does it matter more if Keim wants this quarterback or if Cliff Kingsbury? Do you start this relationship with Cliff Kingsbury when you have the chance to get the quarterback he wants and go in another direction? It just feels like a dubious way to open chapter one.
Let's move on. Chris Hogan got a job. The Panthers announced Friday they signed the wide receiver to a one-year deal. Hogan spent the past 3 years with the Patriots, never really developing chemistry necessary to foster a long-term home in New England with Tom Brady. But now he joins a receiver group in Carolina that's pretty crowded. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Torrey Smith, Jairus Wright, Rashad Ross, and others. So Chris Hogan's going to have to earn playing time and snaps, but we will see what happens. Hogan also had this quote, Wes. Tom was great. He demanded a lot and was an ultimate competitor. From what I hear and just from watching Cam, he's the ultimate competitor as well. Really excited about the opportunity to play. There can only be one. Now, I mean, the ultimate warrior. Were there multiple ultimate warriors?
No. Well, what does ultimate mean?
Yeah. The ultimate player. Shake those ropes. Ultimate competitor. And I get, by the way, that's absurd. Tom Brady, can't stand the guy. I want him out of my life forever. An unbelievable competitor. Cam Newton didn't even fall on a fumble in the Super Bowl down a score. And I don't want to hear it. You throw it back. Oh, that's old news. That's tired. You know, that's lame that you bring that up. Tell me, name one true ultimate. You said ultimate competitor that does not get down on the turf for that football. That still sticks in my craw.
Yeah, but if you were hired as the CarolinaPanthers.com lead writer, you would not be allowed to say anything you just said.
No.
He's part of that.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it on this podcast.
Well, I mean,
because people seem to get a little sensitive.
It's going to slip through, I think. We'll be okay.
I approve of your semantical nitpicking.
The ultimate competitor. Cam Newton, are you serious? Watch the tape. Also, Chris Hogan has a logo.
You've gone down this road before.
He has a logo?
Chris Hogan has a logo. I went on his Twitter page after he signed this weekend.
Not exactly Jerry West.
The man has a logo. What is the limit? What is the limit? What do you need? Where's the bar? At what point do you have a logo? Because I think we found the lowest point. And I'm not trying to get on this guy too hard. Chris Hogan, he seems like a nice guy. I remember him from Hard Knocks. You know, and he's trying to make it with the Dolphins years ago.
24-7.
24-7. Always. No, 7-11.
Oh, 7-11.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wrong fraction.
That's fine. We're even now after the Sierra thing.
Well, I want to check one thing out, and now you can continue on. But, like, his logo essentially is the 15 on his jersey turned into a poor-looking G. And this logo was only released a month ago. I want to see if there's anyone with the number 15.
Can you check on that while I set up the next news item? Because Chris Hogan's not the – again, not all due respect to Chris Hogan. He's not a guy that walks in a locker room and says, give me my number. I'm a 14-time Pro Bowler. Give me my number. It's not happening with Chris Hogan.
I am still looking that up. It's taking me a while.
Finally, Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, was on the Rich Eisen show on Friday, and he said that Todd Gurley, his all-pro running back, despite the knee condition which haunted the Rams and Gurley at the end of last season, and we heard some, you know, worrisome commentary about what the knee is going forward in terms of its long-term durability, and the thought that maybe Gurley isn't the guy to be the center of the offense. Well, guess what? McVay thinks he will be.
You can expect Todd to be the focal point of our offense again as we move forward. He's in a good place. He's feeling good, and he's going to continue to be a central part of our offense, you know, going into the 19th season, and I don't see that changing.
Wes, my thought on that, and I'll let Mark continue to do his research. I'll believe when I see it.
I was going to say, you know, what you learn going through perhaps maybe a bad breakup or something, actions, not words.
Right.
your words are cheap at this point. The Rams told us this guy was healthy. And then they promptly played C.J. Anderson over him, which you don't do with the offensive player of the year. I mean, to me, prove it.
Let's see where we are October 1st. Not even week one or week two. Let's see how the season starts to play out. Now we're going to throw it to Mark Sessler, who's done his research. He's shaking his head. Confidence is wavering, potentially.
I mean, no. I mean, unless, you know, a lot of things can happen in these months where they change some of these jersey designations. But Rashad Ross, who some feel could just flat out beat out Chris Hogan for this role,
tricky,
is wearing number 15, according to online information.
That's almost the worst case. Well, the worst case scenario is if it's an established star, obviously.
He's an established AAF star.
Right. Well, yes. So, but he is not only going to a new team, he's got the logo, he's got the bumper stickers and the T-shirts, and Chris Hogan's made a financial investment in this Hogan 15 logo. It's not going to be easy to go into the wide receivers room and go up against the competitor. Let's face it. That's how it works in football. You're competing. You're trying to take that man's job and say, hey, before this competition heats up, I need all my logo merch, all my logo swag still to be functional and relevant. Can I have your number? In fact, you could go as far as to saying Rashad Ross, if he wants to get an early shot to the chops on Hogan, says, go take a walk. 15's mine.
Well, I mean, or do you take some sort of revenue sharing plan off of all the Hogan number 15 shirts and shorts and winter hats that he's going to sell?
How much revenue do you think that will be?
I'm just saying, you got to think strategically like a businessman.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. All right. Did you have anything you wanted to... Ricky, you hit me up on Slack about something earlier.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Sierra was born Sierra Princess Harris on October 25th, 1985 in Austin, Texas. So that is her birth name.
Sierra right. Princess Harris?
Yes, and then her and Russell Wilson's daughter's middle name is Princess as well.
Oh.
I like that, the woman being named after a older woman in the family. You don't see that often, and that needs to be done more.
Did you call a little baby a woman?
Well, I'm just saying, like my mom's name is Barbara. If I had been a daughter, why not call me Barbara the Second or Barbara Junior?
Oh, for even if it's a male.
No, I mean if I were born female, or just call me a male.
If you were Barbara Sessler,
call me
amazing.
Barbara as a man. I don't think that would. That's not where I was going with that.
I've always wondered about that double standard. Why
it's
throughout history has there not been women named after the mom?
Totally agree.
Shatter that glass.
My older brother is Edward George Wessling III. You don't
Eddie.
See any. You know, yeah, Eddie.
Well, so if you have as I've been plotting out your life for the past 3 or 4 years,
somebody has to.
Engaged last spring, nailed that. Married this spring, nailed that. You will have a child by June of 2020. You could put that in the books. There will be no long honeymoon period.
Oh, definitely.
Or Chris and Lakeisha. No. And guess what? It's not Wes's call. But Wes is all right with it, but it ain't Wes's call. And just so you know, Princess and Sierra, both options.
You know my feelings on this. We fought wars to get rid of these people who call themselves princesses and queens and kings.
All right. All right, let's get into it. Tiger Woods, as our friend Mike Tirico said, one of the greatest comebacks in the history of American sports, a man that had back surgeries, personal trials and tribulations, all that.
Created some personal trials and tribulations for others as well. Just throwing that out there.
Absolutely. Yes. That's fair. But to go over a decade without a title and then to come all the way back and win the biggest tournament in golf, big deal. So that got us thinking, who is in line to be a comeback kid in 2019 in the NFL? Mark, get us going.
Well, I mean, some of these, just when you look at these lists, are ragingly obvious. So I will start with, just to get it out of the way, to me, Jimmy Garoppolo, because you're checking the box that, A, you're the quarterback, which typically a quarterback is if someone's going to surge like Andrew Luck did, you're going to win this award. An inside linebacker is going to have less of a chance to do so, as we will never be watching him play for the most part with naked eyes. Jimmy G, though, a team that also could boost its win total or double it. They've got other guys that were injured coming back. You love the coach, and you'd hope that if they don't get it going this year, there could be changes. I think that, to me, is the leading guy in the clubhouse, unless you believe that Jason Witten is going to go from television back to some sort of on-field, raging 100-catch campaign, which will never happen in human life.
Wait, did you just jump to another one?
I just threw out one I don't believe in.
Okay.
Jason Witten. That will never happen.
All right, let's start.
I'm not convinced he'll finish the season.
Okay, I'm kind of with you on that one. In fact, I still think that was a bit of a golden parachute that the Cowboys gave Jay to get out of the broadcasting job without taking mortar fire. But let's Jimmy G, counterpoint. What is he coming back from? He still hasn't really had a full NFL season. He's still kind of a guy trying to establish himself in a way.
Yeah. Well, my counterpoint to that is that there is no more nebulous award out there.
That's
that
true.
Whatever Philip Rivers had one comeback player of the year, if I'm not mistaken, for simply playing marginally better than right. he did the year
Forget
before.
Forget about the award, because we all agree that's
but
a weird award.
Just but I do term, think yeah, I do think comebacks. Because number one, he was already anointed the starter.
Right.
He was given a massive contract. There's no question about his sort of origin story as being the anchor of the 49ers, that you have a major knee injury, which a lot of times you have to wait maybe till two seasons from now to find out where we are with Jimmy G. But if he comes back and performs really well, does sort of some Deshaun Watson type part two or Andrew Luck, to me, it's a home run.
Well, I think with Tiger Woods, it's not just the self-destructiveness that put him in that hole. It was career-threatening and injuries that were so bad that a lot of people who follow golf thought he would never be even relevant again. I think if you look back 2 years ago, he was ranked 1,199th in the world in golf. Somebody who had a career-threatening injury, Travis Frederick, the Cowboys center, coming back from Guillain-Barr syndrome, and the early word right now is the Cowboys expect him to be back and to be starting at center, an all-pro type of player. This is a guy, if you're looking for a story, like a Tiger Woods type of story to get people, this rally around Travis Frederick.
You know what I love about that, too, is he is going to have – it helps. A lot of this is – it's not – players not campaigning for it, but your team needs to be part of that story. You've got the biggest mouth in the South and Jerry Jones, probably on his radio show, trumpeting this every week.
With a megaphone?
Yeah. If Frederick were on the Titans –
and a jacket with a piano on the back?
Right? If he were on the Titans, we'd never know about this story.
I give you $1 million, all both of you, if Erica knows who Jimmy, the mouth of the South Heart, is.
Possible.
Yeah, I have no idea. Just who is it?
Brett the Hitman and Jim the Anvil?
Yeah, one of the great wrestling valet / managers of his era in the 80s.
A wrestling manager?
Oh, yeah, one of the great ones. He's up there with Bobby the Brain Heenan and Slick.
Wow.
He was very much Reverend a nuisance. Slick. He's like 5'8", about 130 pounds.
Luscious Johnny Valiant.
You guys need a hobby.
I was single for many of my 2 years. In fact, all of them. All right. I'll throw it out there. I'm a little nervous about this one because I've been pounding the table that I think Carson Wentz is going to come back huge and strong for the Eagles in 2019. And I'm not wavering on that. But I will mention that Wentz spoke today and acknowledged that he's not healthy yet, that the back injury that wiped out the end of his season is not healed. He had this to say. It's still getting there. So is that going to affect him going forward? He hopes to be ready for OTAs. So he's not cleared yet. So that's something to keep an eye on in the back, like with Tiger Woods, is one of the worst injuries a pro athlete could have. So you hope that it's not something that's going to haunt him. But I think everything else is set up really well for Wentz. If he can get himself to full health, he's a guy that has a lot to prove after essentially what was a lost year. And not only a lost year in 2018, in 2017, it was his year. It was his moment in the sun. He was the MVP favorite, the leader in the clubhouse entering December when he hurt his knee, and then he watched another man win a Super Bowl with his team. I'm trying to think. I just watched the 1989 Batman with my sons for the first time. Great movie. Jack Nicholson has a great line to Bruce Wayne when he shoots him. He says something like, "Don't mess with another man's rhubarb." Something like that. That's what Carson Wentz
is thinking.
That's
what's happening here.
Yeah, with Nick Foles after he won the Super Bowl. But let's watch where Wentz is physically. But if he can get back, there's skill talent around him, good coaching staff, a division that's there for the taking. I think Wentz could have a big comeback year if his body allows it.
Have you, Dan Hansis, ever had rhubarb?
No, and I don't even really know what it is.
It's got to be a fruit or a vegetable,
I think,
right?
It's a vegetable from the ground, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a cultivated plant It's a lot of long words. I'm not even going to get into it. But, yeah, I have never had rhubarb.
Nor have I. But people used to make pies out of it.
I think it's over now. Rhubarb pie had its moment.
Yeah, they gone.
Mark, take us around the horn one more time, unless you want to get some Jason Witten shots.
How do I recover from that rhubarb talk? I think Earl Thomas is someone out there that obviously you check the injury box, you're in a new place. I feel like safety with the Ravens is going to get a lot of pub. You're going to be highlighted on every primetime event that the Ravens are part of. And if you have a couple, let's say you have like a nice pick six and maybe a late season interception that vaults Baltimore into the final wild card spot, you've done it. You might be the guy they pick if no quarterback shines.
So we're talking
just an option.
Like fucking comeback player of the year award?
I don't know.
No, we're
throwing
out the award. We're just talking guys that we think are going to have nice comeback years. Forget about the award. The award's
well, I think, or then in that case, that's a much easier sell. Earl Thomas is totally set up to play way more games on for a team that's, you know, the center of attention, and he's the center of the defense.
Good pick.
I like that one. Can't say it's not a good pick.
I don't feel like I feel like that landed like with a major thud inside the studio, but I don't know. I don't quite know why.
It's certainly a good pick. This is a future Hall of Famer potentially coming back from season-ending injury on a new team looking to make a big wave.
I have a juicier one for the next go-round.
Well, we're only doing two rounds. Do you want to
throw one out?
Hey, how about this?
All right,
wait, let's first do this.
How about a lightning round?
Let's not take it out of the show, but everyone forget about
the
Earl Thomas one. It never happened. Here, Mark, one more time around the horn.
How about this? If the trade happens and you're coming off a really, really shaky season.
My pick's
going
to be Mark Sessler. He's got to come back from the Earl Thomas.
I do. How about Josh Rosen? Let's say he landed somewhere else and
now
had a
this
really
okay, now
nice year, too. Because I forget
give us something to chew on.
Well, yes! Forget the award side of it, but it has a great narrative, too. Or what rookie has been hassled and tossed around the way that Josh Rosen has? If he winds up somewhere else, and especially if the Cardinals still sort of stink, you kind of stick it in their side, mm-hmm. and Josh Rosen goes somewhere else and plays up to par with the way that we have seen him on certain throws in certain games, and you get a much better version behind an actually functioning offensive line, that's a comeback player of the year right there.
Yeah. Mm. I like that one. I don't necessarily believe in it.
I don't need you to – we can't get everything done.
I gave my speech to Josh a few weeks ago. It's not his fault how this all turned out. But I'm also not quite ready to say, yeah, just put him in a good spot and he's going to be – A-OK. It would be a great comeback story if he got
a
starter somewhere and was
functional. Presuming that he does do that. I'm not saying that will happen in this exercise.
I love it. By the way, it's never rub another man's rhubarb, the Joker says after he shoots Bruce Wayne in the chest.
Just feels like common sense.
Isn't a rhubarb sort of like a fight? Isn't that another word for like a Donnybrook?
I don't know.
It'll be the third thing we're looking for.
anyway.
All right, Wes.
All right, I'm about to try to pull off a three-part answer, if you will let me.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, first I thought, okay, with Tiger, you want to look at the personal demons angle. There has to be more to the story than just a comeback. Like, what put you?
Right.
Josh Gordon would be a good one with the personal demons.
Tough.
But then I thought, okay, what about Trent Richardson?
Okay.
AAF star.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot on the line in the studio with him.
Yeah, a lot.
But then the third part is both of these guys, failures for the Cleveland Browns. And who would be the ultimate comeback kids in a Tiger Woods sense?
Right.
The Cleveland Browns winning the Super Bowl.
That would be the great completion of the comeback of all time. If they can go all the way. Imagine that, Mark.
From a sports world angle, it would be one of the biggest events. If it happened this season, it would be one of the biggest turnarounds of all time.
You've often said, Mark, that an NFL story gets truly big when our moms are interested, when people who don't even follow the sports start to ask questions and want, you know, hone in on this topic, and the Cleveland Browns would get people interested.
I like that.
I like that, too.
How about that, Mark?
I like that, too.
Imagine a scenario.
I also like that.
Where the Browns are in Miami for the Super Bowl, not 2 years from now, not 5 years from now, this upcoming February.
Well, I do want to make it clear that I've mentioned many times, if that were to happen, I am
not doing any work
within 48 hours of the game before or after.
Right.
Do you think just because you say that, it matters?
No, I think I will take total control scenario.
We had this conversation a few weeks ago, and I don't know if you landed in the same boat as me, but where I came down, if the Jets ever were in the Super Bowl, I would do a phoner post game if they won.
Happily do that.
But that's the extent of my work for
Super
Bowl
weekend.
I'm
not going to, like, let's sit there and go through, oh, now in the third quarter, so-and-so had a four-yard rush that resulted in third and three. No.
That is not on the books.
Yeah, but you guys have to plan for it so we all get to go and be in there and get our tickets and stuff and then just don't show up. You know what I mean? If you're saying outwardly that you're not going to do it, then all of a sudden we're not at the game.
Right.
So we got to play the cards the right way if She's the right. Jets or the Browns are in the Super Bowl.
That's correct. Mm.
Devious woman.
Rapscallion.
You got to play the game, you know?
Rhubarb is a fight or a name for a fight, by the way.
There you go.
Wes is right.
It's like, don't rub another man's fight.
I don't think it meant that from the Joker.
Okay. Now, an obvious one is Aaron Rodgers, but I'm just going to say I really do believe in Aaron Rodgers, and I think he is not the ultimate competitor because there can only be one, but he is an amazing competitor himself, I think, and I think we're going to see an angry Aaron Rodgers looking to vindicate himself from all these arrows that have been
slung his
way. This
is going to be like the year that Tom Brady tried harder because of Deflategate?
Yes. Okay. It'll be that
year.
Well,
hold on.
Yes.
I get that they can do whatever they want with these storylines, and he wasn't the best of all time, but he threw 25 touchdowns and two interceptions over 16 starts last year. What is he coming back from?
No, you're thinking about this all wrong. This is not the award. This is
I get it, but what's
no the award, bro? Get rid of the award. It's not.
This is
not
what,
in this
he's coming back
so
from
what,
the Bleacher Report
more
article.
Touchdowns?
He's coming back from getting his coach fired. He's coming
Six
back from everybody thinking that he's not the best quarterback anymore.
I mean,
that
it,
he held on to the
well,
ball too long in the pocket.
This is
that
why
he throws
I'm annoyed
out his
by
wide
Aaron
receivers.
He's that is what Wes is saying is everything he's coming back from. No longer, we're not, right now we're not talking about Aaron, ooh, is he the GOAT? Now it's Aaron Rodgers, is he the problem? What happened with the Packers? I think his goal is going to change the narrative around the Packers, and maybe he did learn from this. He called it a good week last week, and maybe that will point the whole organization in a more positive direction. I do not put it past him. I think he's that great. So Aaron Rodgers is someone I believe in, and this one's TBA, and I'll go out on this one because it depends on what happens at the draft. The Arizona Cardinals, as we talked about, hurting so many positions that it makes it hard to be a skill player in that lineup. But David Johnson was a raging talent who broke out on the scene and became immediately a top five, top 10 NFL player. And now has kind of disappeared the last 2 years. If they could ever, they got the coach out of there, Wilkes, who is a bad fit there for the offense and the defense. So they got an offensive minded coach in there. If they ever did pull the trigger, either on a trade that allowed them to beef up their offensive line, for instance, or if they took Kyler Murray and Murray was a badass like people think he can be, that would obviously make things a lot easier for the running back. I think David Johnson has a chance to get back to David Johnson this year, and he's a guy to keep an eye on, but some things have to work and fall into place.
Well, I would say what's already positive there is that their offensive line is much improved just from trading for Marcus Gilbert, signing J.R. Sweezy, getting D.J. Humphries and A.J. Shipley and Justin Pugh back healthy. They were running
That's
out
true.
Guys in the last month and a half of the season who will not even play in this league next year. Their starters were guys who should have been in the AAF.
That's not a good thing.
No. So I think you'll see him get better, and it's hard to pinpoint just how much he suffered from bad coaching last year, too.
Right. I mean, this guy, if you look at the tape of his pre-wrist injury seasons.
They were talking about him as a Hall of Famer, the coaches there.
An all-timer type player, and his numbers were backing it up. And then the injury, and then he went into the abyss last year under Wilkes. So we'll see how he comes out. Does anybody else have anyone we want to throw out before we end this assignment?
Let me hope that this guy, maybe 2020 or 21, Ryan Shazier.
Yes.
That would be a great comeback story.
Well, he's jumping up on boxes now and doing things that you never would have thought he would have done. And coming back from a devastating back injury, that would be one of the ultimate comeback stories.
Can I sell you on a player that produced zero statistics last year?
Is this for the trophy or just like a comeback type thing?
He's obviously coming back. He's coming back to do something quite notable.
Let's hear it.
His name is Le'Veon Bell.
There you go.
Maybe you don't like why he was gone, but a lot of his fellow peers, his fellow running backs, love what he did, and he's going to go from 0 to 60.
That's – let's – can we bring the trophy back into the conversation now for a second? Is that okay?
Sure.
Yes.
Could you give him
no.
the Comeback Player of the Year award when he opted not to play?
No.
I don't know.
I think you have a hard time garnering people aren't going to galvanize behind that one.
It is the other end of the spectrum from Ryan Jassier.
Yes.
All right. Good seg. Good talk. Rick, you have anything else to add?
I just don't understand the Tiger Woods narrative, the greatest comeback in sports history. It's what? Because he stopped and, he got a DUI 2 years ago and he cheated with his wife with 30 women. And it's oh, my God, he overcame it all and hit this little ball in a hole. Good for him.
I totally agree with
Erica. I'm so over this BS all over Twitter. The greatest comeback in sports history. It's oh, my God, first of all.
Well, let's unpack this one. I think a lot of people agree with you. I would say I've been turned off by golf fans because this has been going on for a few years where they just welcome him back with open arms and everybody's cheering for him. I have very conflicted feelings about him, but on the other hand, it wasn't all self-imposed. The back injuries were definitely not self-imposed. People didn't think he'd ever athletically be able to do any of this again. And I try to separate that, but also whether your injuries are self-imposed or not, anyone to get off the canvas when you've been knocked down in life. Because the other answer is just let yourself stay down. Stay addicted to drugs. And he was addicted to pills. Stay down. But he didn't stay down. He got back up. And whether it was self-imposed or not, to me, that's worth
– But the problem I would have with, the waste of time looking on Twitter on a Sunday during this kind of an event and the gushing is that no one just succinctly said what you just said about it. I agree with Erica.
I couldn't be on Twitter yesterday. It was too much.
No, but a total personal fall from grace based off your own decisions. To be touted as this, hero coming back from war that, is nothing but a shiny dance card, I don't buy into it.
I think, there's also, if you look at it in that vacuum, yes, it's not like this heroic comeback journey. But if you...
But treated that way.
But if you're a sports fan that goes back and you're old enough, you understand that Tiger Woods was Babe Ruth. He was Muhammad Ali. He was Michael Jordan in his sport. There was no one like him. He was dominant at a level that blew people's mind. This man won a major by 15 strokes once. He was something that you'll see once every 100 years. So there's a level in any sport, and golf apparently is no different. There's a level of nostalgia. So when he makes his way back, that gooses people. It gets people excited, and it gives golf as a sport a major shot in the arm. I totally understand why people were saying what they were saying yesterday, because he was that special as a player at his apex. So, and he goes into the wilderness for a decade and then reemerges. As sports fans, we love that stuff.
From a sheer sports angle, yes. I watched Tiger Woods, his first ever pro event, and I don't feel moved the way that you just described, but I'm not a golf guy. But secondly, the back injuries, yes. Some of the other stuff,
I also wouldn't give him a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Actually happening now.
There are limits to it. But
there's a part of this story that's as old as the prodigal son, wasting talent. And he could have wasted his talent. And some people could argue that for years he did. But he returned, and not only to set himself right, but to bring joy to other people by using his talent. And to me, that is worth applauding.
It certainly seems a little humbled from all this, everything that's happened. So I was human.
No,
it's
no.
A human story, too. Human interest, Ricky. Does it change anything about how you feel after that conversation?
No. I think it's great that he came back athletically and the back injuries and all that, but it's a human interest piece. Look, he took all those 30 women and turned it into 10 years later winning them. Get off my...
I totally get where you're coming from. I absolutely understand that.
Get off your what?
High horse.
I understand. To me, he is not the most sympathetic athlete at all. He never has been. Even before all of that, I never found him to be a sympathetic person.
Yeah.
Incredible conversation, guys. Killed it. We'll be back on Wednesday with our Twitter show, 10:30 Pacific, 1:30 Eastern, maybe 5:30 in England. Still no one's telling me I'm wrong or right, so I'll continue to say that. And then on Thursday, we'll be back with another show. I believe Connie Fox will be involved. I believe we might be calling some general managers in the National Football League. So make sure you tune in for that. All right, let's go. Stan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Wednesday.